Call to worship today to prepare your hearts for the message today, which is titled Live in Harmony. It's actually a text that's been on my heart for many years. And as many of you know, I do a lot of counseling in my office. And the most of the issues that I deal with is unforgiveness. And so as we talk about living in harmony, we're certainly going to talk about forgiving one another, because it's only through the act of forgiving that we can live in harmony. So I'm going to read Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. Listen to this. We are to be like Christ, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you so much for these words. Lord, words of encouragement to live together in unity. Lord, I thank you for Paul and what he talks about in Romans, as we will discuss today. Lord, I thank you for those that are here. I pray that your name will be lifted up and glorified in all that we do. We thank you for the celebration of your death and resurrection as we celebrate the table today. Lord, I pray that you will certainly work in each heart and life here. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I would really like you to follow along. The notes are on the back of the bulletin. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Romans 12. We're going to be looking at verses 14, 15, and 16 today. I am a continuation of where we've been. It says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. I have an illustration from Chuck Sundahl, and it's under the heading of Christian growth. And he says, I love babies. How many love babies? Chuck Sundahl loves babies too. I love babies. And he says, I think others ought to have as many as they wish. That's a good word. I think others ought to have as many as they wish. I think it's a delightful, enjoyable experience to watch babies grow up and become little people, little men and women, adolescents and functioning persons. But you know that there are some things about little babies that are not very attractive. We humor them because they're babies. Here's a list of things. They are dependent and demanding. I saw my nephew's wife down in Florida. Her name is Samantha. She had a post on Facebook of their little one just screaming. Red face, tears. And the reason was that she was upset because her mama put the dress on that she had gotten for her to help her with. And then the caption said, I guess she wanted pants after all. They're demanding. They are unable to feed themselves. They are unable to stay out of messes. They love to be the center of attention. They are driven by impulses such as hunger and pain and sleep. They're irritated when they're dirty. Even though they made the mess, you got to clean it up. They have no manners, no control. They have little attention span, no concern for others, no abilities or skills. Now, these are natural things that are part of babyhood. But when you see adults with these characteristics, something tragic has happened. Something terrible, unfanny. The Christian who is not interested in growing wants to be entertained. He wants a diet of milk and cries for it. He wants his own way. And he's going to get it, no matter how many people he will have to disrupt to get it. You see, in order for a Christian to handle solid food, he has to have a growing, mature digestive system. He needs teeth. He needs to have an appetite that is cultivated over a period of time for deep things, for the solid things of God. Spiritual babies must grow up. Some of the most difficult people to live with in the Church of Jesus Christ are those who have grown old in the Lord, but haven't grown up in Him. Good words for us today. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this text, and as we work through Romans, Lord, I pray that you'll work in each heart here. Help us to be, as Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we can put God's word in our mind and transform our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first verse, Romans 12, verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. I need to remind all of you who Paul is speaking to here. He's talking to the church in Rome. And those are the professing believers, professing believing in Jesus Christ in Rome, both Gentiles and Jews, as we've talked about the last several months, both Gentiles and Jews. And it doesn't matter which one you are. Most of us here, I think all of us here are Gentiles, but we're all under the same umbrella of Christianity. 2 weeks ago, we started with the text, Romans 12, verse 9, and it says, let us be without hypocrisy. Let us love without hypocrisy. Don't lie about your love. Don't be fake or don't be false about the way you love. And the verse 10 says, be devoted to one another. Be devoted. In other words, put your own wishes on hold and pursue other people's wishes. Verse 13 said, contribute to the needs of saints. Caring about other people more than yourself. We know that the Bible says that they will know you by your love. Who's they? Huh? Non-Christians, unbelievers. It's even bigger than that. It's everybody. They will know you are Christians by your love. John 13, 34 through 35, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you have also loved one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Imagine with me, if you will, you're at a funeral, and the preacher says something like, I know that this person, John Doe, is in heaven. He's in a way better place than he is here. And you're like, really? What? And in your mind, you're thinking, this is the most hateful, disrespectful person that you know. What does the Bible say? You'll know that you are my disciple if you love one another. So friends, love one another. Matthew 7, 15 through 20. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. These are the false prophets that are going to be coming into your life. So you will know them by their fruit. What kind of fruit? You might know? Galatians 5, 22. Anybody know? Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. These are the fruit of the Spirit. And if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're going to produce fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the fruit that he's talking about. You will know them by their fruit. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And then, so then you will know them, the prophets, other people, by their fruit. By their fruit. So Romans 12:14 says again, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. I already mentioned before we even started, I have many, many people into my office, and most of the issues is unforgiveness. Most of the issues is unforgiveness. They're upset at that person and they can't forget it, or they're upset with their spouse and they're going to get a divorce, and it's my job as a pastor and a counselor to help them and point them in the right direction, but I can't do that unless they change their heart. Point them in the right direction. If someone is persecuting you or harassing you or just plain not being kind to you, what's your first impulse? Isn't it to retaliate? That's human nature. But what does Paul say? Bless and do not curse. Brothers and sisters, we need to bless and not curse those who are against us. Listen to the Lord's Prayer. And actually, when we read the Lord's Prayer, we stop at the end of the Lord's Prayer. But the next two verses are very important to us. Matthew 6:9-15. Pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And that's verse 13. But let's read the next two verses. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Did you hear that? If you forgive other people what they have sinned against you, then your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Listen to verse 15. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive you your transgressions. Pretty powerful words. It's words that we usually bypass somehow. We stop reading at the end of the Lord's Prayer. But we need to learn to forgive. Otherwise, God's not going to forgive us our sins. In the book Total Forgiveness by R.T. Kendall, which is a book I have many of in my office, usually many of, and some of you know that, some of you have received that book from me. It's a book that talks about the need to forgive one another. But in that book, on page 182, he says, forgiveness is not total forgiveness until we bless our enemies and pray for them to be blessed. Well, isn't that what Paul is saying? Bless and do not curse. Bless and do not curse. Kendall, when I was reading that book years ago, it really struck me as a need and an importance to forgive other people. And so many times we say, well, I have forgiven that person. But what we really mean is, I've said I forgive that person once, but the old nature and the old feelings of hatred and bitterness keep coming up. But what Kendall says, listen to this, what Kendall says is we need to forgive, and we need to forgive, and we need to forgive, and we need to forgive, as long as those feelings of bitterness and unforgiveness are there. What Paul is saying is not to curse. It's an ongoing thing in our minds and our hearts. It's an ongoing thing. I guess That's why I spent so much time on this one verse. I've seen and experienced so much pain and unforgiveness. So in your life, turn the tide of unforgiveness. Start forgiving today. Start forgiving today. And then tomorrow, or 5 minutes from now, when those feelings of hatred come back, forgive again. And the next day, forgive again. Start a habit in your life, brothers and sisters, of forgiveness. Start a habit of forgiveness. Ephesians 4, 30 through 32. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also forgave you. Look at it this way. If you refuse to forgive, you are grieving the Holy Spirit. Is that really what you want to do? You need to learn to forgive, just as Christ forgave us. Verse 15, Romans 12, 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. R.T. Kendall says that if you cannot forgive to the point of praying blessing on those people that have hurt you, until you can come to the point of praying a blessing on them, then you have not forgiven. So, friends, we need to learn to forgive to the point of being able to bless the people that have hurt us. It's one of the biggest things in our world today. Our emotions many times take control of our actions, leaving our brains in the dust. Our emotions take control. Verse 16, Romans 12, 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind or associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. The NIV here says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. That's where I got the title to the message. Live in harmony. Live in harmony. Be of the same mind one toward another. A few weeks ago, we were talking about unity, and I had some washers in my hand and a roll magnet, and I threw them on the ground, and I vacuumed up the washers by sucking it up. Unity. Clinging to what is good. Talked about cellophane and how I can't take the cellophane out of the dispenser without it wrapping itself up on itself. Lori can. I can't. I don't know what the deal is. She can pick it out and put it right over the bowl in one easy, swift move. But if we were to take that same example and turn it to ourselves, if we are the cellophane, friends, and we cannot forgive, we are only concerned about ourselves, and we're going to be clinging up to ourselves. That's a pretty descriptive. Do not be haughty, it says. Prideful. I have another illustration that I want to read you, and it's from my Nelson Book of Illustration, and it's Paul Harvey's For What It's Worth, and he goes on to say, "Our For What It's Worth department hears from Hershey, Pennsylvania." You know, when I read that, I'm like, I want to move to Hershey. How many want to move to Hershey, Pennsylvania? Oh, yeah, or maybe we could just buy them out, right? Where the woman in the Mercedes had been waiting patiently in a parking place to open up. The shopping mall was crowded. The woman in the Mercedes zigzagged between rows, and then up ahead she saw a man loaded with packages heading for his car. She drove up, parked behind him, and waited while he opened his trunk and loaded it with packages. Finally, he got into his car and backed out of the stall. But before the woman in Mercedes could drive into the parking space, a young man with a shiny new Corvette zipped past and around her and pulled into the empty space. Got out and started walking away. "Hey," shouted the woman in the Mercedes, "I've been waiting for that parking space." The college-ager responded, "Sorry, lady, that's what you get when you're young and quick." At that instant, she put her Mercedes in gear and floorboarded it, crashing into the right fender of the quarter panel and wrecking the quarter panel of the flashy new Corvette. Now the young man was jumping up and down, shouting, "You can't do that!" And the lady in the Mercedes said, "That's what you get when you're old and rich." Friends, we need not retaliate. We need to learn to forgive. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. All these three verses kind of tie together. I want to read the text for you one more time. Romans 12, 14 through 16. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimations. Friends, we need to think about other people. Put our own wishes and desires on the shelf and be concerned about someone else. Amen.